This is Gilbert Andrew Garcia of A Tip from Gilbert, talk, inspiration, and prayer. Listen to my show every Monday from 11 to 12 on KWWJ, 1360 AM, KYOK, 1140 AM, KCOH at 1230KCOH.com, Sankeet Radio at 95.1 FM, 1460 AM, and Latino Sports, KEYH, 850 AM. Call in at 832-570-8075 and follow me on social media. See you then. All right, Houston, you have me, Gilbert Garcia, with another tip from me. Talk inspiration and prayer. And I have my partner here at my firm, and we've been working together now since January of 2002. That probably puts it at, what, 23 years. Ruby Day. Ruby, welcome.
Hey, Gilbert.
Ruby, can you believe we've been working together 23 years?
It's been incredible. Wonderful journey.
Yeah, it reminds me when I tell people about my wife. My wife and I have been married now. Let me think now. I should know this. We've been married since now 26 years. And I will tell people, you know, it seems like yesterday. And then the last girl, and she says, it seems like 26 years. I don't know what that means.
I don't know.
It means something, right?
It does mean something.
Well, today is Cinco de Mayo. Well,
happy Cinco de Mayo.
And we're going to talk a little bit about that because most people don't really know the significance of Cinco de Mayo. Mm-hmm. They think it's Mexican Independence Day.
Correct.
And it's not.
That's right.
But there are some pretty amazing ramifications of the whole Mexico beating the French. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that in a moment. And then, of course, I want to talk about the upcoming election that the election in San Antonio, where we now have a runoff here in early June. And we're going to talk about that. And, of course, I want to talk a little bit about the elections coming up to fill Sheila Jackson Lee, as well as Sylvester Turner, when he held a position for a couple of months, the congressional district number 18, because there's lots of candidates running. I mean, it's just going to be lots of candidates, but there's a couple that are really sticking out. And so we're going to talk all about this and more on this today's show. So Ruby, I want to first start with, I understand that your son, and of course we love him, so we call him Big Country because he's probably the biggest, stockiest, strongest, Asian man in North America. You know, he plays lacrosse and he's been on TV playing lacrosse, mm-hmm. and people are saying, like, look at that number 50 or whatever. Look at him. He got his Texas A&M Aggie ring this weekend.
That's right. Yeah, we're so proud of him. Yeah, thank you, Gilbert. As we were becoming parents, my husband and I, you know, we always, like anyone, you want them to go to your alma mater. So I graduated from University of Houston and my husband graduated from UT. And so that was kind of their path. It was planned, right? But, you know, and I know you have had some issues with the kiddos of not getting into any of these schools.
I want to talk about that, but keep
going. Things always work out the way they're supposed to. So both my kids are now A&M students, and my son will be graduating this Thursday from an A&M with the degree in economics, and then on his way to Wall Street.
He is
now a man and going to be forging his path there, following our footsteps in the financial industry. But I had no clue all the wonderful traditions that they have at A&M. And so we as a family went to support him with his ring dunk this weekend. And oh my God, as a parent, to see your son drink a pitcher of beer
in like 30 seconds
and then watch him be so proud to throw up right after. it was incredible. And I'm so happy that he had us, along with a couple of other families, be able to witness this and join along the fun.
I mean, I had, of course, my wife went to Texas A&M. My son went to Texas A&M. My brother-in-law went to Texas A&M. I'm trying to think. I'm sure I have others. And I will tell you, when I mean this, I mean it sincerely. It is like the smallest big school in America.
Yep, I agree.
You could say the biggest small school.
Yep.
Because there's something about the whole Aggie tradition, and If you see another Aggie somehow, you automatically like want to help them
right
out there in the universe. It's phenomenal.
Yes, it's phenomenal. A tight community.
Well, we did the ring dunk. And for all of you who are listening, if you don't know what the ring dunk is, let me tell you, as a parent, it's horrifying. So what it is, and believe me, and for all of you mothers out there in particular, this is what goes on when your kids go away to school. No, what they do is it's a tradition when you are graduating to put your Aggie ring. And first of all, I know it's expensive, but you got to get one because it is like the symbol of like all kinds of entry points to jobs and everything. When people see that ring, they want to help.
Yes.
Excuse me. And so, so to really break in the ring, they drop it in a pitcher of beer. Yes. And even if you don't like beer, your job is to drink that pitcher as fast as you can.
Yes.
And to get that ring in between your teeth as you are drinking, to have it there and then put it on.
Yes.
That's your sole mission of the ring dunk. And I will tell you, I did it with my son, and it was so funny because I did not know all these traditions really till I had my son there. And of course, he's now 3 years on Wall Street. So you're talking about going back about 4 years ago. And I remember going to see him at his apartment. He had a little apartment about 2 weeks before. And I said, "What's this?" He had a pitcher of beer just sitting there.
Brewing?
Stewing. Sitting there on his counter. I said, "What is that?" He goes, "The key, Dad, is to let it sit there so all the bubbles come out."
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, son, it's going to be like, remember that commercial, bitter beer phrase?"
Yes.
I go, "That's going to be terrible." He goes, "I know, but that's not the point. The point is I got to get to the ring."
Right.
And it's at the bottom, you know, fermenting. And so then came the ring dunk, and he and four of his friends went to do it. And one of his friends played basketball for Texas A&M. So he's a big 6'10". His whole hand fit around the pitcher, kind of like my hand is like around this glass.
Uh-huh.
That's how big his hand was to the pitcher.
Right.
And then he had a little guy who was, you know, Brad Delia is a wonderful guy. He played lacrosse, and he must have been all of 5'7", 5'6", but he's a stocky guy, you know, like a 4x4.
Right.
And of course, to him, it was like, you know, me holding it like this big. And then my son is a, you know, 5'9", and he's a big guy, played football, this kind of stuff. And I mean, they went, and the basketball player finished that thing like nothing, like it was a 6 ounce thing of water. And then of course, my son was next, and there he was, all bright eyed. I think he was in shock. And then his friend drank it, this little one. And I mean, it must have taken 9 seconds when he finished. It took him longer than 9 seconds to finish. But after 9 seconds, he threw up all over the place, the friend. And my son wasn't that far behind. And they were all proud. I was horrified.
Pride. Well, Christopher was proud because he did beat everyone on stage. But I want to give a shout out to, there was a young lady that was participating, and she beat some of the guys.
No way.
So both male and female are up there, you know, giving it their all. And there's something about throwing up afterward, like almost that has this equal pride in drinking.
Oh my God. I'm horrified. Yeah. I'm just horrified. Well, I asked my wife afterwards, I said, "Didi," I go, "you know, did you do the ring dunk?" She said, "Yes, I did." And I said, "Well, did you, you know, I mean, did you really?" Because my wife doesn't drink much at all. And she only drinks like those little like mimosas and all these sort of, you know, sissy drinks. And she would never drink beer ever. And I said, "You drank the whole pitch?" Well, she goes, "I didn't quite, but I strategically, you know, spilled it on me." I said, "Well, boy, you got to be proud of that." And it made her sick also. So anyways, it's an amazing time. I want to talk more about schools, but we have a caller in, and I wanted to ask this caller to come in because we have a new station that is now part of the Tip from Gilbert family.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, it's so amazing. And it's called Latino Sports, KEYH, 850 AM. And I'm so proud of them because they own a couple of stations, and the station manager worked with me to get this on, and he was just wonderful. And I want to get him on, and let's see if he's there. Luis Acosta, are you there?
I'm here, Gilbert. How are you doing?
Well,
we're really happy.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you as part of the family because I've had KWWJ, Keep Walking with Jesus, from the beginning. I've had KYOK, and they're part of the same family of radio stations. I still have KCOH. They've gone online, but I think we're hoping to get back on a tower. But either way, they've had so many radio personalities for 40 years. So I know they're going to have really strong listenership. We have Sangeet Radio that started about 2 years with me. But I'm so grateful to have y'all. Tell me about your stations, because y'all have four stations, right?
Currently, we have five radio stations.
Five
radio stations. And across the U.S., 30 stations.
Wow, that's so amazing. And let me tell you, I'm so thrilled. And I know you're a big station. You're a 100,000 watt. Is that correct?
It is correct. And this is your new home.
And that means when you're, for listeners, you know, there are different wattage, which is the strength of the signal. And when you're in the middle of the town, you don't necessarily need a big signal, because if you're in the middle of town, it doesn't take a lot of strong radio wave to reach a lot of people. But when you're 100,000 watt, which is the biggest you can be, you can hear all around the county, outside the county. I mean, you can hear it just about anywhere in the region. And so I'm so happy to be on Sports Talk. For all of you who are listening, we do this show every Monday from 11 to 12. And I really like to think of it as the people's show. I always have a guest. This guest, of course, is my partner, Ruby Dang. But I've had all kinds of elected officials, all kinds of priests from different Nation of Islam, Catholic Church, you name it. I've had all kinds of people. I've had sex trafficking survivors. I've had cancer survivors. I mean, we've had all kinds of things. And so, Mr. Acosta, let's talk a little bit about, I know something that's going to be big for your station and big for our show, which is the World Cup. And, you know, people don't really realize here in America, you know, we focus on the NFL and football, and it's big. I mean, we're a football nation, but the world is really a soccer nation. And it's not just Latin America. People think of it, well, in Central South America, that everyone is born with a soccer ball, and that's true. But it's also in Europe. It's the Premier League. It's La Liga. It's all the leagues in Europe, Eastern Europe. I mean, it's all over the world. Talk a little bit about the World Cup. And the World Cup, this is going to be, is this the first time it's going to be played here in America?
The World Cup is one of the biggest events worldwide. It's a sport from people from all over the world are going to be representing with their team. And you know what? The 2026 FIFA World Cup is going to be held in three different countries. It's Canada, Mexico, and United States. And this time, Houston is going to hold seven matches here. Wow. So it's going to be really huge. We expect 160,000 visitors from other state to come to Houston and celebrate this big event with the 2026 FIFA World Cup. And you know what? The good thing is that your station, our station, has the rights to broadcast, to integrate all the community, all Houston, with the players, with the game. And this is a really huge opportunity, you know, to unite the community, to engage and connect, because soccer is a really huge, huge part of worldwide. All the people like soccer. You know, I know that the U.S., we like football, baseball, but little by little, the soccer fans are growing. Even Messi, who is a really huge Argentinian player now, is in Miami. And, you know, it benefits. This is really huge.
Well, let me ask you real quick. So when it's like a tournament, right? And how many countries qualify for the actual World Cup? Do you know offhand?
If I'm not mistaken, 48 countries.
48. And let me ask you this. And we're going to be playing, are we going to be in the Dynamo Stadium or NRG?
NRG.
Wow. NRG. I was wondering. NRG. Yeah, good question.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about some of the biggest stadiums in the world, whether it's the one in, I think it's Azteca in Mexico City. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking about stadiums that are well over 100,000 people, and it is packed. So the only way we can do it is in our NRG.
Yeah.
When does it start again?
The first match is going to start on June 11th to July the 19th, almost a month full of soccer, sports, broadcasting. Program's going to be really huge.
God, I cannot wait. Are y'all getting ready? I mean, it's a year away, but you know what? You got to get ready. You got to plan these things in advance to get all the different interviews lined up and all the scheduling. I mean, it's a huge deal.
We're getting ready. We are getting a really lineup team, people from fresh people from different universities. They are saying, hey, I want to be part of the team. Let's do this big here in Houston, because in Texas, everything is bigger. We have the studios. Oh, it's really a nice vibe here, Gilbert, and all the soccer fans all over the world. This is a really good platform for Houston to show the world what we have, what we can do, the amazing community. And this is going to be an opportunity to show what we are, what we can do, and that we have a really good people here in Houston.
Amen. Well, thank you for being on the show, and thank you for allowing my show to be part of the sports talk family, the whole Latino sports. I really appreciate it. And we're going to do great things together, my friend.
It's a pleasure to welcome you in Latino Sport, 8:50 a.m. Whole family, Ruby, you're being really great. You are an inspiration to me, to our company, because now the last talk that we have, I know what to do to have an engagement with all the team. So it's been really a fantastic relationship. So welcome. And thank you for everything you do for the community, for the country, for the city, and for the whole economy.
Amen.
Oh, how wonderful.
Thank you so much.
We're
going to have you back on here. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Yes, sir. And I think we have now another guest. Do we have another caller? Is it Mr. Ron Reynolds? Representative Reynolds, are you there? Representative Ron Reynolds, are you there?
Hey, Gilbert.
Representative, how are you? You have me with a tip from me and Ruby Dang, one of my partners. Representative, how are you doing the Lord's work there in Austin these days? Oh, my God. And every time, I mean, sometimes I want to say, my God, please have them stop meeting, because they're going to start doing more and more things that are just going to take away money from the public and put them into places that are just like, oh, my God, what are we doing? Representative, it's all you.
Gilbert, you're absolutely right. Good morning. It's great to be on. I appreciate you and everything that you do for our community. I am reporting live from the state capitol here in Austin, and you are absolutely right. This is not a session that I'm very proud of. Instead of focusing on the meat and potato issues, the kitchen table issues that families really care about, raising the minimum wage, access to affordable quality health care, some common sense gun reform legislation, lowering property taxes, we're focused on red meat divisive issues. Governor Abbott just on Saturday signed into law the voucher scam that's going to divert $1 billion of our public dollars so that the wealthy can send their kids to subsidize their private schools while they're still gutting Houston Independent School District and local neighborhood schools. We have seen a session that has not yet given teachers a much-needed pay raise, because the bill that we passed out of the House is stalled in Lieutenant Governor Patrick's Senate, and he has not given the bill a hearing. So we are frustrated. Working families are losing. The only people so far that are benefiting from this 89th legislative session are the well-off and the well-to-do. Just like we're seeing from the national government under Trump, where the Elon Musk of the world are the only ones that are benefiting from the Trump administration so far. They're not really focused on working families, and I am very, very frustrated about that, Gilbert. But guess what? Elections matter, and we need more people in public office that care about the everyday working blue collar and care about all families and not just those that can afford to have very high-priced lobbyists advocating for their interests.
Well, let me ask you this, Representative, because I know you, and really all of Houston knows you, and all of actually yes. all the county knows you. Everyone knows you, frankly. You know, you're a spiritual man. You're always upbeat. You're always, yes. you know, you're one of those, you're like when you think of Winnie the Pooh, you're a Tigger. You know, you're a Tigger. Remember Tigger?
I love it. I remember Tigger, yeah.
Tigger would always bounce
around.
That's
a compliment, brother. I love it. Yeah. I love it.
And then there's other people like Eeyore. It's like, oh, well.
That's not you.
But I, just, yeah, no. I sometimes I wonder, how do you do it? Because every day you're waking up and you're playing yeah. defense. Every day
yes.
you're going to the Capitol.
You're right,
and you're kind of like, right. what are they going to do now?
Yeah, what, that's exactly what I mean, I'm like.
What are they going to do now? How are you?
No, really.
How are you staying yeah. upbeat and so positive, you know?
Well, Gilbert, I'll be quite honest with you. You kind of alluded to this. I'm a man of faith. I'm a proud Christian. I rely on my faith as my source of strength. And then it's folks like you who I see, and I'm not just BSing, I'm being very serious. It's folks like you that I know that are giving their time, their talent, and their treasure that inspire me and other people that I see doing the Lord's work, and people that I know whose shoulders I stand on that made tremendous sacrifices so that I can have a seat at the table to be a voice, mm-hmm. to speak truth to power. So that's what keeps me going. It's knowing the struggle, is knowing that my ancestors had it far worse, that endured brutal slavery and Jim Crow. And I try not to ever have the woe is me attitude, because my worst day would be their best day on any given mm-hmm. day. And so that's what keeps me going. But do I get frustrated? Heck yeah. Do I sometimes want to throw in a towel and say, forget this? Absolutely. But do I pray about it and sleep on it and meditate and then wake up to fight a new day? Absolutely. So it's a cycle. I'm sick of being on defense, because you can't really score points unless you get an interception or a fumble recovery on
right,
defense.
Right.
But that's the hand that I have, and I got to play the hand that I have until we get more like-minded people elected at the state capitol. So that's what I'm hoping for and praying for, and I'm going to keep persevering. And my faith teaches me, don't get weary in well-doing, you know, and that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so I got to keep doing my part, Gilbert, until reinforcements come. I got to do my part mm-hmm. and play my role, and whatever that role may be.
Well, you know, that's a good analogy, until reinforcements come.
Yep.
You know, Representative, when I think about that bill, it would be one thing if they targeted those below the poverty line.
Correct.
And
correct.
Those, you know, that are really struggling with, you know,
it would make some sense. Yeah, correct.
But when you see that you can be people of, you know, middle class or even above middle mm-hmm. class.
Yes.
That are able to take advantage of it. It's kind of like, well, you know what? Wait a minute.
Right.
You're right. They probably are already in private school.
Yep.
Absolutely. So all we're doing is subsidizing.
That's right.
And then we're taking that same money that our taxpayers are footing the bill that is not going to our neighborhood public schools, where people, you know, regardless of their disability, their English as a second language or what have you, they have to take those students as they are. Those private schools can say, Nope, Reynolds, your son is not welcome here. Garcia, nope, we don't want any Garcias. Mm-hmm. But we'll take, you know, Charlie, you know, Thompson, we'll take him. You know, I mean, they can take the students. They can pick winners and losers. And our neighborhood public schools, they can't. And our neighborhood public schools are already in Texas woefully underfunded. And so this is going to lead to larger class sizes, more students being left behind, creating more disparities between the have and the have nots. And, you know, I just, for one, you know, can't sleep well knowing that only a certain class of people are going to benefit. You know, what about, as my faith teaches me, what about the least of them?
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing for them? Those are the kids that typically have more challenges. Students that come from economically challenged families and communities, single parent households, students that, you know, didn't migrate. They migrated here, and they their parents may not even be able to speak English. Those children aren't getting into those private schools, Gilbert. Those kids are going to have to be educated at our neighborhood public schools, where they don't choose who is accepted. Everyone is. And so education is the great equalizer. Nelson Mandela once stated that education is the most powerful weapon that we can use to change the world. And the only thing that that helps some people get out of poverty is access to a great quality education, so that it compete in the global economy. As you know, as a great astute business person, we're just competing with people from Texas or, you know, Louisiana. We're competing in a global economy. And as we move into this more AI, where it's even more global. So yes, I want our public schools to be the bastions of hope and opportunity for every student, regardless of their zip code.
Well, let me ask you this, and I know I'm keeping you, but let me ask you one more thing here.
Yes.
Representative, you know, when you look at what's happening with universities, and it's almost like an attack on the whole freedom of speech.
Yes, brother.
I mean, it really, when you get break down, it's yes. much bigger than just cutting off money. And it's really, yes. it's really telling them you have to do things and teach
Correct.
This way.
Correct.
What are we doing for, I mean, I don't know if it's really hit our flagship universities yet. Obviously they're attacking Harvard. Obviously they're yes. attacking Cornell.
Correct. Obviously, yes.
But are they
and hitting? Harvard's fighting back to their credit.
Yes, they are. Are they attacking yet University of Houston?
Yes. The answer is yes, Gilbert. So Texas started last session with Senate Bill 17 with this anti-DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And Gilbert, not to divert, but I want to ask them so bad, is it the diversity, the equity, or the inclusion that you have the biggest problem with? Which one is it? Or is it all of the above? But Texas was only the second state from Florida that started this anti-quote woke agenda with Governor DeSantis and Governor Abbott trying to compete to see who could be the most MAGA. Long story short, our Texas universities have since been censored when it comes to anything regarding professors, when it comes to, you know, if they are, quote, woke. And there is censorship in professors, and that a move to even get rid of in and tenure. So these professors in Texas colleges and universities are on eggshells because of Governor Abbott and Lieutenant Governor Patrick, the MAGA extremist positions on public education. That we started off with this nonsense of CRT, critical race theory, where you couldn't talk about issues. And now we're seeing it evolve into free speech. So yes, we're seeing it. Not just in our Ivy League schools, but we're seeing it right here in Texas at our flagship University of Texas, Texas A&M. They have gotten rid of professors. We're seeing it's the climate is terrible, Gilbert, and we need more people to speak up and take a stand, because we're going backwards. We're going in the wrong direction.
You brought up so many things. I gotta have you a couple more minutes here.
Please,
first of all, who invented this whole thing called woke? I mean, who invented that? What the heck is that?
I think it was Steve Bannon,
it's woke. I think it was
Steve Bannon, really? Man.
I mean, it's these
Nazis.
Yeah.
I don't believe in playing the race card, but I got to call out racists for what they are.
Yep.
Steve Bannon, these neo-Nazis, these skinheads, these Proud Boys, these people who stormed the Capitol on January 6th because they wanted to take their country back and subvert the will of the American public. Those are the people that created this woke, language and this anti-DI backlash, because they're threatened by Hispanics and African Americans being in positions of power and as CEOs running corporations. They're threatened by that, and they think that we've taken jobs from white men. Not that we're competent, capable, and qualified. Not that we are DEI, definitely earned it, right? That's what we have to push back against this narrative that if you're black or brown in a position that you weren't there because you checked the box and you're a DEI hire. You're there because you had to 9 times out of 10 be twice as more qualified than your white counterparts to even get that job in the first place. Well, so that is why we got to keep, you know, pushing back against these false narratives.
Well, we live it every day in our industry.
Mm-hmm. We live it every day.
We got to be better than, we got to work harder than.
Everything. Absolutely.
But here's Gilbert, the thing. Don't lose your thought, whatever you have. Don't lose it. Wait a minute. Who can be against casting the broadest net possible to find good quality people?
Correct.
And they may be the normal people. They may be people of color. Look at our firm. Our firm is 40 employees. Yeah, I mean, yes. We are 75% of our team are women. And yes, roughly 60%, 65 are either black or Hispanic. And here we are, one of the best money managers in the universe.
In the world, in the country.
That's
yes,
right. And so it's like, wait a minute.
Right. You got a DI, huh?
That's right.
It's insulting.
It's ridiculous.
It's insulting. Yeah.
Everyone.
And we have to defend our rightful place and positions because Trump is saying, the airplane crashes. Oh, it must have been DI. Oh, this happened.
Yeah.
It must have been DI. Although, if it's a black or brown person, that was a DI. Like, it's a negative. It's cold dog, racist dog whistle. Like, a black person or a brown person surely wouldn't have earned that position. They were there because they get special preference and treatment. You know, like, come on, man, get the hell out of here.
It's ridiculous. And it seems to me it's only normal in business that you want to cast a broad net.
Correct.
To get the best talent. And
that's right.
Why would you exclude an entire populations of people, whether women or whether blacks Hispanic? Why would you exclude them?
Amen, brother.
And then here's another one. Critical race theory. I'm just like, wait a minute. There is a whole amount of history that is not written because, of course, to the victor goes the spoils.
Yeah.
And
there
they
go.
And they want to do history the way that makes their populations look great.
That's right.
When there's a lot of things that happened. And
you're right.
And we should learn those things.
Not because we
want to embarrass anyone, but because that way we know where we came from and we don't repeat it.
Yeah.
Right. Facts are facts.
You're absolutely right. And that's why it's shameful that they're trying to whitewash and etch-a-sketch our history. You know, it's shameful. It's awful. Only about things of race. Well, they're like dumbing down the textbooks, banning books that they don't like. Thankfully, this last Saturday, Gilbert, and I do have to get back on the floor.
Yes.
This past Saturday, the voters sent a loud message because these MAGA extremists on school boards in these local elections, they all lost. They lost. So, I mean, there is hope for people who are saying, hey, enough, you know, and I think that Trump and these MAGA extremists have overplayed their hand, and I think that the voters are going to reject them in the midterms, and people are going to vote for people that stand up for the diversity that we live in, and where there's women, LGBTQ, people of all races, that everyone deserves a fair shot and a seat at the table, you know?
Representative Ron Reynolds, I know you got to go do the Lord's work, and you're there at the Capitol. It's so kind of you to take, you know, a couple of minutes out of your day.
Thank you for this platform, brother.
Keep going.
Thank you, man.
Thank
I appreciate you,
Representative.
You. Okay. All right. Have a blessed day.
Yes,
right,
sir. Bye-bye. You too. What a gentleman he is.
Right? Exactly. I mean, I know he's busy, and yet he took time off to come and speak with us.
Yeah, so. What a gentleman. I want to make sure everybody knows our upcoming shows. And you know what? I've got to do a better job of advertising on our advertising upcoming guests. And that's on me. I have a Miss Handy that I know from St. Agnes, and I'm going to play a little bit of St. Agnes Choir because, of course, that's my baby. And she's going to be on the show next week to talk about adoption. She adopted. She's been a single parent. She's been fostering kids. And she now just adopted a little baby.
Oh,
and she's
going to
talk about it, how hard it was, what were the details, how to do it, some of the racial issues around adopting. Yes. And she's going to talk all about that on the 12th. I'm probably going to have to rebroadcast because I'm going to be out of town on the 19th. I'm going to New York to see a fundraiser that I'm doing. Well, not I'm doing, I'm participating with Mr. Lin-Manuel Miranda.
How wonderful.
Who we've been getting to know real well, especially his father. And so we're going to be doing that. And then, of course, we're going to talk a little bit about the 18th congressional district election for Congress. Because, of course, we had the legend, and I mean it when I say this, Sheila Jackson Lee, who was on that position for 30 years. And we had Mayor Turner, and he was only there a couple of months, you know, God rest his soul. So now we're having another election. And at the end of the day, we're going to have Amanda Edwards, who's going to be on our show on May 26th. She's one of the leading candidates.
Yes.
She's run before. She was on council. And then we're going to have on June 2nd, Christian Menefee, who's also a candidate. And of course, he's our county attorney. And I've had him on the show before. Yes. And we talked about things going on in the county. But he's going to be on the show. And then I'm sure there'll be others that are going to jump in. I understand that Jelanda Jones is looking at the race. Of course, we've had her on the show many times. I think Jarvis Johnson is looking at the race. We've had him on the show before. So I'm going to keep going, because then on June the 9th, we're going to have Mike Nichols. Mike Nichols is a true patriot, because he's been very successful. He was a CEO of a big Fortune 500 company here in Houston. And then he started working under Sylvester Turner. Actually, excuse me. He started volunteering and became the head of the Coalition for the Homeless. And Mayor Whitmire brought him in to head the whole homeless situation for the city. And he has put his whole life into helping eradicate homeless.
Wow.
Yeah. And so he's going to talk to us about what's going on with the city, because the city had been a beacon of doing things right for all America.
That's right. Yep.
But we had the funds from the COVID, and now those funds are gone.
Right.
So it's going to be a very interesting show that he's going to talk to us about what we're doing. I do have a kids meal group on June 30th. And then I have the head of the Harris County Democratic Party on July 14th, Mr. Mike Doyle. I've had the head of the Republican Party, Cindy Siegel, who I'm a good dear friend. Of course, everybody knows I'm a lifelong Democrat, but Sydney Siegel is just good people. So I had her on the show. And then Mike Doyle's going to come on to talk about what's going on with the Democratic Party. So the whole thing is the 18th congressional. You know, it is a kind of a weird sort of shaped district. It goes all around like Humboldt coming down by Jersey Village, coming down to Houston. And I believe it's got about, let me just see here. I'm just trying to get the stats. But it is a heavy Democratic district. The population in the district is 788,000.
Wow.
That's about every congressional district has about 700,000-800,000. The median household income is about 59,000, which is sort of, I believe, I'll get all those stats below the median. By ethnicity, 43%, people don't realize this, 43% are Hispanic.
I didn't know that.
That's right. But you know what? They're not voting.
Yeah.
They're not voting. 32% are African American, 16% are Anglo, 5% or almost 5% are Asian. Again, very, very interesting. And the Asian community, of course, is very organized. And of course, they vote. And then it says here 2.2 or other, and which really means you probably didn't say what you really were or something to that effect. And so we're having our special election. It's going to be November the 4th to fill that seat. So, you know, it's going to be great. And more importantly, Houston, you've got to get out and vote. Latino community, you got to vote. When you start thinking about how is all this thing happening, all these terrorists, all this madness going on, well, we need to vote.
That's right.
My mom said, if you don't vote, don't complain. And we're going to talk about some of the policies that are going on these terrorists, because I want Houston to really understand what these terrorists really mean. But first, we have a caller. Is Jesse there, please? Let's go to Jesse. Is Jesse there, please? I think there was a Jesse on. Jesse, are you there? Jesse. Every time I hear that, I think of that song. Oh, I wish that I had Jesse's girl. Da, da,
da, da. That's a good song.
Yeah, Jesse's girl. If for those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, well, that shows I'm showing my age. That was Rick Springfield's big smash hit from like 1981 or 82 or something like that.
I remember that song. It's a good song.
Wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like in his early 70s and he looks fantastic.
Yeah.
And he still tours, but he looks fantastic.
Yeah, he does.
Okay, Jesse, are you there?
Yes, sir, Mr. Gilbert.
Jesse, you're on A Tip from Gilbert, Talk, Inspiration, and Prayer. And, of course, just let me get a shout-out one more time. We have our good friends at KWWJ, Keep Walking with Jesus. They've been so great to us for a long time. KYOK also. And then we got the KCOH, The Source, at KCOH.com. And then we got Sangeet Radio. And now we've got our newest partner, which, of course, is KEYH, Latino Sports. So what do you got for us there, Jesse?
I just want to also announce, Gilbert, that you need to remind everybody that you're live on YouTube, and that's the way I like to watch you, and live and living color. I see when you are at University of St. Thomas shirt and looking good, that red shirt. So you need to let everybody know you are on YouTube.
Well,
and they can see you on TV live.
Thank you. I'm on all social media. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Spotify. I'm everywhere, as they say. Like, remember Johnny Cash? I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere. Remember that, Jess?
Well, I remember that.
I'm everywhere, but I thank you for that. And Jess, now that you're seeing me, did my hair and makeup, did they do a good job?
Yes, sir. You're looking handsome, ready for that Emmy and Grammy.
I want to make sure. You know what? Speaking of that, there is what's called the Luttrell Awards, and I'm going to make sure I get that right. And the beautiful thing is that it is essentially the Tonys, which is essentially the best Broadway plays for off-Broadway, which is the plays that are not quite on Broadway. And the theaters are just a little bit smaller. And it's just a way to give more exposure to theaters. And my wife and I are co-producers of Here There Are Blueberries. And we got best play last night.
How wonderful.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yes. It is a huge deal for us. It's a huge deal for, you know, the whole effort. And it's an amazing story because what happened was they found a scrapbook. And it was a scrapbook from a Nazi SS, of course, which is essentially the secret police, an SS officer. And it's there, and they're showing all these normal pictures of them celebrating holidays with the kids and everything. And what's so amazing is they were living this, taking these pictures while they were living next to a concentration camp.
Wow.
And how could they just thought that that's okay, just
block that out.
That's, just blocked it out, and that's what it's all about. And so it's going to be an amazing show, and it's going to be all over the world. It's going to be in Spain, and we're going to bring it to Broadway. And it got the best play last night.
Well, and congratulations!
I couldn't make it, but my son was there, and with some other producers of all the plays, and he got the hobnob on the red carpet, and he thought he was Mr. Big and all that kind of stuff. But no, Jess, thank you for that. But Jess, going back, what say you about some of these things? You know, I was going to talk about, and stay with us, I want to talk a little bit about some of the Trump policies, because when people hear tariffs, they think, oh my goodness, that's just going to raise my prices. Well, there is some truth to that, but the real truth is what tariffs are, it's a big tax,
mm-hmm.
because we as the citizens are paying this tax. And ultimately, it is already leading to, I have a article here, and I know you can't zoom into it. That's okay. Don't worry, Mr. Producer. But it says that because of the tariffs are just now hitting, because remember, they had like 90 days and all these things that pausing, over 2,500 stores are closing.
Wow.
Now retail stores. And these are like Kohl's, Family Dollar. Family Dollar is going to close 1,000 stores. JCPenney's is closing stores. Rite Aid, is closing stores. Joann Fabrics, they're going out of business. Party City just went out of business. And these are stores that are all over America, 800 stores, 700 stores, Big Lots, 500 stores. They're all closing. And it all goes back to these terrible policies of using terrorists as some type of weapon. And it's a no win. Actually, it's a loser policy for all the world, mm-hmm. because it's a tax on all the citizens that are buying these goods. It's a worldwide tax. What say you about some of this stuff there, Jesse?
No, I know it's hurting everybody in their pocket. I mean, well, you know, people can't afford it. Even they're saying that with the tariffs, that the avocados and bananas and coffee and things like that coming in from Mexico and Central America is definitely going to affect us to the point that, we're not going to be able to afford anything. We can't afford bananas and fruit and things that come from Mexico, avocados, things that we eat every day.
So, hold that thought, because, you know, Jesse, I went into an Aldi store,
mm-hmm.
Aldi store. I was on my way to St. Agnes. And I mean, there was like a run. I mean, a run on tomatoes. I mean, there were people and there were lines because, you know, these terrorists are coming in. Right. There were lines on every single line. There were like probably 10 people to check out. And just about every other one had a massive bag of tomatoes. They're buying every tomato they can get their hands on. Yes, there is a run on tomatoes. Just like we saw a run on toilet paper during COVID.
That's right.
Or batteries during storms, a run on batteries. Well, everyone's trying to get everything as fast as they can, Jesse. So to your point, that's right. And it's rational behavior. But it's just terrible that we're going through these sorts of things. Instead of really looking at productive policies, we're just trying to play, I'm going to use an old phrase when you're growing up, chicken. Mm-hmm. Remember chicken? Like, you know, who's going to blink first? You're playing chicken with world trade with these other countries when the only losers are the American workers, because they're the ones that are going to lose their job. All these stores that are closing. Mm-hmm. When you see 2,500 stores, and that doesn't include many of those that I mentioned, there's people that work there.
Right.
And there's people that rely on those people and their wages, and it just is a trickle effect in the whole economy, Jesse. It's just terrible.
You're right. And they were even saying that a lot of the farm workers are going to lose their jobs because they're not going to be able to ship their products anywhere outside the United States for that reason, too. So it's like you said, a trickle-down effect where it affects workers that are out there, pulling the plants and picking the fruits.
Yeah.
So it's affecting everybody, Gilbert.
It's terrible. And of course, one of the things that I just I don't like to say, think I'm like, I am spiritual, but I'm not going to pretend that, I can quote Bible verses and those things. But at the end of the day, when I saw the picture, the AI generated Pope, of Pope Trump.
Yes.
I just couldn't believe it. I mean, it's like how disrespectful.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like graffiti. He put it out.
Yes.
He's in a magazine, I forgot which one, where he talks about he rules the world now.
I didn't see that.
Yes. He was a big interview. And it's like, it's scary because when you start falling into that trap, those are the sorts of things that some of these dictators fall into that trap.
Right.
And then you're going to start making bad decisions because you think that you know it all and you're above it all. And you're not, and that was a great thing about this country that started this whole thing where, George Washington ended up transferring power when people wanted him to stay in power. And he says, no, we're going to, it's the people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a king. That was the whole premise of America. So when I saw that Pope picture of Trump, I just thought, my goodness, we are just off the mark. Did you see that, Jesse?
Yes, sir. I was very insulted where it started off with an interview. Somebody asked him, and he said, I wouldn't mind being Pope. He's not even Catholic, and he's telling everybody he wouldn't mind being Pope. Come on.
I mean, it's just crazy. Well, Jesse, what say you here? I'm going to give you the last word for another minute or two before we take another caller there.
The reason I was calling, Gilbert, is for give a shout out. And I want you to say a few words on behalf of Johnny Mata. His birthday is tomorrow. He turns 88 years old. You know, he suffered, I think, a couple of heart attacks. And, you know, the band is growing in years, and it's wearing down. And, you know, I hope he's run a lot longer, but, you know, it's going to be tough. But here's a man that really has not, doesn't get his due, doesn't get enough attention, doesn't get enough recognition for what he has done. So I want to leave with that, Gilbert. I want you to say a few words on behalf of the band.
You know, he is a legend. And if you go back to, you know, there was a time when people like Johnny Mata, Fulgencio Reyes, they worked so closely with Mickey Leland, Ben Reyes, you know, all these, Craig Washington, all these great leaders. And they really came together and made such positive contributions to this city. And they're the ones that brought the lawsuit that created the single member districts for city council. They're the ones that did things to make the grand jury system more equitable, so you don't have just all white juries. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that did all of that. And Johnny is just a prince, and he's 88 years young. And I sure hope we have another 88 years with him, because God bless him. We need him now more than ever.
Yes, we do.
And when you see these people, Reverend Lawson, you know, he's probably, Reverend Lawson is another icon here. He's probably, you know, in his, you know, thinking, oh my God, I can't believe these things are going backwards. But no, Johnny Mata is one of those icons here that needs to be in the pantheon of great Houstonians. Well, let's go. I think we have another caller already. Vicky, are you there? Vicky.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Vicky, what do you got for us here on A Tip from Gilbert?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, there's just, I'm listening to you talk about our Johnny Mata. He is one of my pioneers, one of my spearheaders and, you know, mentors.
You,
and I totally appreciate him.
You know him real well, right, Vicky?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, I know Johnny.
How long have you known him?
Oh, my goodness. I think as long as I've been with the LULAC Council, I now sit as a district chaplain here for LULAC for the District 18. And so I've known Johnny Mata. I know you're in his council as well.
Yes,
Vice
I am.
President. Thank you so much. So I've known Johnny since I found the need of joining LULAC to empower a Latino community. When I joined the HISD, I saw the need, the desperate need of how we as Latinos needed to rise up. And so I worked with Johnny. One of the most recent cases that I'll share with you was on the Jocelyn Nungary. I know everyone was talking about the mom and working with the mom, but there was something that Johnny and I worked on, working on getting the dad home of Jocelyn Nungary, the 12-year-old that was murdered. And I remember the day of her funeral, we looked at each other and we were talking and he says, are we done? Because we were really trying to get the dad home. No one knows this. We were really trying to get dad home, Christopher Gonzalez. 30 Thursday, the day of the burial. And guess what? He's like, Vicky, are you sure? I think we touched in. We tapped in everybody. I was on the phone with the state representative, Congress Garcia. Thank you so much. We were on the phone with Christina Morales, everyone. We tried to do it. We couldn't. And he's 8:30 in the morning. He says, you think we're going to do it? I said, yes, we are. He goes, we're not done yet. Do you know? I was like, we're not done yet. Made some more calls. By 10 o'clock, that Christopher Gonzalez dad was on the phone. And he was here. He was here. And so when I watched Resilience of Johnny Mata, I was like, Johnny, we're not stopping. And he told me, he goes, Vicky, because I told him, I said, we're going to get this daddy home. And he was home to see Jocelyn and Gary buried, to be here for her funeral.
Wow.
And yeah, last week, you don't know this, but I then took it further to Senator Flores. And guess what? His dad is now transferred to a unit here. Her daddy is transferred to a unit here, 45 minutes. But it's things like that, that we as leaders, that we don't get to share out in the community, but the resilience of Johnny Mata and what he's done is like, you know what? There's a leader within all of us to make things happen. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That don't get talked about. But I'm here to talk to you about HERO and what's happening here with the centennial of Milby High School, along with what happened this year at HERO with the five deaths of the students. One, Sergio Rodriguez, that was hit by a train. We had one that was hit, killed right in front of his home, you know, one night, gang related. One student who did not wake up, whose mom is also a HERO coach. He did not wake up, a softball player, 16 years old, and two students who committed suicide. So
five, yes. And like, well, what time period?
It was within 3 months.
Oh, my God.
Within, I would say about 4 months. When school started, we had one that was killed, and then, you know, it was the one that was hit by the train, Sergio. So on May the 23rd, we're going to talk about at 3:30, right after school dismissal, we're bringing in these buffaloes to discuss, one, to remember the fallen. Then we're going to talk about the impact that the HERO made in the schools. The attendance went up. I know that the resilience was there, that the students had to basically start being a HERO within themselves. We touched about 2,000 parents, students, staff members. That means we also were able to take about 500 HEROs, not just Milby, but the HEROs along the city to the Astros game. Now we're taking another 1,500 in May 29th to Astros. They gave us the May 29th date. So just FYI.
Oh, how wonderful. Let me ask something. Go back. I don't mean to cut you off. Milby is celebrating 100 years?
100 years. Next year, 2026. So the HERO Impact Day, we're also going to do a kickoff day to remember and motivate these children to a legend legacy. This is legacy moment, Gilbert, where all these heroes that they have to understand, it's time to continue the torch for 100 years.
God, it's hard to believe 100 years. And Ruby, you went to Milby, right?
Yes, I am. Vicky, it's Ruby. I'm a graduate of Milby High School, and I know exactly what you're talking about, that train, because I did the same thing. I mean, we, you know, you had to be at school, and we all walked to school, and that train is right in front, in front of that that street, Broadway, that we all have to cross. And so we all did the same thing. We were fortunate that we didn't have an accident, but I knew eventually something would happen. And it's just so tragic that it takes something like that to make change. So just thank you for everything that you do for our community, because that's my stomping ground. Yeah,
and you know,
Ruby, what class are you?
I'm class of 85.
Okay. I'm 91. Yeah. So we're getting together all the alumni, especially for the Impact Day that we're doing. We've invited, that's the fourth thing we're doing, is inviting all the alumni. So it's one is the impact that the remembering the five fallen. Mm-hmm. We're going to also remember the impact that HERO did there at Milby. We have been, Victor and I, all over the Harris County and beyond, and have been invited to go to Laredo, all over Texas, to bring HERO. But we said, we're leaving it at Milby because there's heroes and leaders like you, Carol Alvarado, Donald Driver, Eva Laredo, and so many people, John Segovia, that we all came out of Milby. And
Donald Driver went to Milby?
Yes.
The Green Bay Packers, wide receiver?
Yes, he was. Wow. He went to Milby.
Wow.
Yeah, he has an impactful story too. I mean, the guy was homeless.
Wow.
He was homeless. And so, yeah. And Coach Honey took him into his home. So his story is so just impeccable. And so we share these stories to the students to talk about how we were resilient. You know, I was a teenage pregnancy, can go on with my story, but now God let me be a doctor. And guess what? Getting another doctorate's degree, an honorary degree this time through HCC next week on the 16th. But I want to share with the listeners, we're hosting next week, May the 10th, a barbecue benefit. We need all the support we can. We're basically a grassroots nonprofit, but we're making impact. I mean, we and your support, Gilbert, has been a blessing. You have no idea. It's like we run every day just on hey, what are we doing? Just keep going. Our city needs it. Our nation needs it. And this is what it's about. It's showing that we can together as a community make transformation.
Well, I so appreciate you telling me. You know what? We're about to run out of time. Please call next week. We got more to talk about. Please call me next week. Will you please? Thank you, Ms. Vicky.
Thank you, Ruby.
Thank you, Vicky. We will.
Bye-bye. It's already time.
Yep. It went by fast.
I don't feel like we got to talk to, we didn't get a chance to talk about anything. I'm going to talk about student loans and how people are now, the government's now, you know, they're going to start collecting all kinds of things. It's crazy stuff. I want to play my my daughter's song, but I'll do it next week. There's so many things. I want to talk about Cinco de Mayo. We'll talk about it next week. So there's a lot we're going to talk about next week. So we'll see you next time, Houston.
This is Gilbert Andrew Garcia of A Tip from Gilbert, Talk, Inspiration, and Prayer. Listen to my show every Monday from 11 to 12 on KWWJ, 1360 AM, KYOK, 1140 AM, KCOH at 1230KCOH.com, Sankeet Radio at 95.1 FM, 1460 AM, and Latino Sports, KEYH, 850 AM. Call in at 832-570-8075 and follow me on social media. See you then.